good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome. It's Pop Culture Gamers 79 and a half. It's the way that we're going to start describing these, I think.
Yeah.
So it's the midweek show, and I'm Hayden, and I'm here with Alan, as always. Hi, Alan, how are you doing?
Hey, Hayden, Connor's Tartu, how are you keeping?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good, thanks.
Oh, good. You haven't spoken, you know. Sorry I missed last Sunday, but I listened to the podcast. It was great, as always. You know?
Yeah, just one of them things. Life gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
World. We said that we were going to start the show pretty quickly. We've been talking for 45 minutes before we've even started recording. So God only knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We've put the world to rights, so as we do. Yeah. So
lots of COVID talk. So we got those out of the way now, thankfully.
Yes. So we won't bore you guys with it. So anyway, Alan, what have you been doing this week?
It's been kind of a strange week for me with stuff going on. Like, we've chatted privately between ourselves, and, you know, as always, I appreciate the old chats. And work and kind of getting for reopening and is getting, it's great, like, but it's stressful because in my kind of job, there's already a lot of restrictions, and rules that you have to abide by, you know, from health and safety officers and all that kind of stuff. And now, I have COVID rules now, booklets on top of that, which, you know, I have to read and make sure I'm up to date and my shifts are all okay and I have proper full stock deliveries and handling and all that kind of stuff. Because apparently chefs now are going to be one of the high risk workers who could catch it because of all the stock we get from all over Europe. So that's going to be interesting. And I won't lie to you, I've kind of developed a bit of a phobia. Small phobia around being around people, and it's kind of weird. I don't know if it's got to do with my OCD or my post-traumatic stress disorder. I kind of suffer with that. I really noticed it. Like, I haven't been down to my local shop in over 5 weeks or anything, that kind of stuff. I haven't been. So it's kind of strange, you know. So that was most of the week. Haven't gamed at all this week, except for tonight, while I was waiting for you, so I'll just get out of the way. Not waiting for you, but, you know, waiting to record the podcast.
Yeah.
So I had about 4 or 5 hours on Assassin's Creed, and I'm back into it big time again. I'm loving it.
It's a fantastic game. It's Odyssey, isn't it?
Odyssey. So I'm back into it big time now, and I'm really enjoying it. So I think I have about 65 hours. So I think I'm going to push through now with it and get it done this time, next couple of days.
Yeah.
And get it out of the way and just have it ticked off before Valhalla comes out.
I mean, bearing in mind that I basically completed everything in that, you know, the vanilla version of it. Not all of the add-ons and that, because I've still got to go back to a lot of that. I've started them, but I've still got to go back to them. Bearing in mind where, you know, I was when I finished it. If you are doing what I'm doing...
I am, I think, going to every single question mark.
All of that sort of thing.
One by one.
I was 99 hours and 25 minutes.
I think I won't be far off that either, the 100 hours, I think. But I'm enjoying it now. I'm delighted I started it. The controls came back really fast. I didn't know the story. I kind of clicked back into straight away. The questing, they've kind of done a few upgrades or kind of patches and stuff and added a few more kind of gaming life quality stuff, which I really liked. Which they kind of, you know, you can click off certain things if you only want to see certain quests and stuff. So yeah, it's good. My running today was day 58 of my run streak, and I hit 866 miles in 58 days. So I don't know how long more I'm going to keep that going. I'm doing that Tennessee challenge as well, 1,000 kilometers. So,
well, you're nearly there then, aren't you?
No, because I'm only 250 miles into that.
All right, okay.
In 15 days. So I'm hoping I have to get it all done in 80 days for that. So I've got two things on the go. So it's a bit confusing.
Mate, let me tell you something. I've been out in the car going to my other house because... obviously starting all of the work on that and that and now because we're allowed out a bit more, and technically because it is going to be a business for me, I am going to a job to update the house.
Okay.
You know, so that's how I'm sort of like justifying it. But I haven't driven 250 miles in the last 10 days, let alone run it.
Yeah, but it's slow. It's nothing. I'm not sprinting, and it's a nice pace. Headphones on, audiobooks. I started the new Marco Kerlos. I finished his 6-book series. I spoke to her a couple of weeks ago, and he has a new one out now that's called Parable. It's kind of like Babylon 5 meets The Expanse, that kind of style. The first book now nearly done. It's really good. So that's all I do, Hayden. I'm just, you know, get up in the morning, get it done before I go to do other jobs and stuff, you know.
I've just got off Audacity because I had a load of credits on there. Picked up the I Am C-3PO with Anthony Daniels.
I am C-3PO. Human cyborg relations. It's an interesting story. Listen to audiobook.
Yeah, I've got a few of biographies. I've got, I think on my list as well, Roger Moore's one as well about Iron Bond.
Very good. I tend to get the autobiographies of adventurers, like Mark Bormer, now that cycled the world, and Sean Conway, the guy who does a lot of those triathlons and stuff. I like those ones, guys who does adventure sports.
Yeah, I've been more likely to go for Sean Connery, who did James Bond.
Well, they weren't the same, just Sean, anyway.
Yeah.
And then on a kind of a personal thing, I sent on some recipes to you.
Yes.
And you were kind of sending some pictures of your wife cooking them. And I have to say, no, from what I saw in the picture, she did an amazing job. So I was delighted to see that. It was nice to kind of see people cooking your recipes and stuff and enjoying it. So that was cool.
We absolutely loved them. It was absolutely brilliant. So we're going to do that some more because I've had enough time for me to, you know, start addressing shape that I have become, shall we say. And, you know, your body is a temple. Mm. I have been worshipping that temple with gifts of food for far too long.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, it's like saying, you know, yeah, you've got the body of a god, yeah, Buddha.
Buddha, yeah, I love that one.
But Buddha, I feel like would be the diet version of me at the moment.
Oh, no, don't say that.
I've got
a couple of more recipes now I'm going to send on to you this weekend as well that I wrote, that I typed out for you and your wife. Nice, they're all kind of low sugar for diabetes, and they're all not high calorie, but still good flavors. So if any listeners are listening, I have them saved in a folder if they want me to send them on to them. You can ask Hayden and his wife if they taste good. And then if they agree, I'll send them on to you.
I'll tell you what you should do. You should cook them and put them on Facebook, on YouTube.
Yeah,
you should do.
Kitchen now. I might do that. I've got all my equipment and a full setup in the kitchen. I can do it with my iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But look, we're on a mission now for you to get you sexy looking. That's the plan.
Jesus, that's... I know that you like a challenge, but no. that's like doing 15 ultra marathons in about 5 minutes.
No, it's not. It's a simple, small steps. You know.
If you want to do those videos, send them to me and I'll do nice titles and stuff like that on them and all that. How's that?
Yeah. Once I get set up in the kitchen, I might start doing it. Nice star fries and curries, all low calories, you know, brown rice and stuff like that.
I'm sure that there'll be a lot of our listeners that would be really interested in doing all of that.
Because that chocolate brownie I sent you, that's not made with sugar, it's made with beetroot.
Yes.
It's absolutely, like, I make that in the kitchen for gluten-free and stuff, with gluten-free flour and things, and it's when you cut into it, chocolate just oozes out inside, and you think it's not going to be sweet because there's no sugar in it, but the beetroot makes it sweet because you use beetroot with chocolate, they're a great combination. So you should really try that one. It's a very simple recipe, but it's lovely.
Well, we're going to do the shopping tomorrow, but that's one of the things that we're going to do because we're going to try that, because that's the only thing we haven't tried. And we're going to redo, that soup.
That soup looked nice.
Carrot and coriander.
Very rich.
Really nice. Yeah, she followed your thing, but she put it in the soup mixer.
But that's fine. That's perfect. That's even better again, because it'll be a more consistent cooking of all the ingredients, you know.
She normally likes much more chunky food. You know, what I would say is it looks like cottage milk pouring out of, you know, full fat
no,
cream
I'd,
milk.
No, I prefer a nice smooth consistency. No, I prefer.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I prefer.
But I have an awful bad habit, which I got from my grandfather, is brown bread, you know, brown soda bread.
Yeah.
And you butter both sides with loads of butter. And then you cut it up into cubes and you throw it into the soup and you leave it soak into the soup. And then you mush it around so it's like really thick porridge. It's so fattening, but it's so good.
Yeah. That's a problem, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's like the most exciting idea is sort of like eggy bread.
Eggy bread. Garlic bread. Yeah, my daughter loves eggs. She has poached eggs, avocado and beans every morning. On bagel, it's her favourite.
Wow.
Yeah, she comes down and she makes a smoothie. And she has that one of those bullets, the guns for blending.
Oh, all right, yeah, yeah.
And she makes this mixed berry smoothie. The same thing every morning. And she does a bagel with light butter, beans, avocado mashed up, and then two poached eggs with black pepper. And she eats that every morning. So, yeah, that's kind of my week. How's you been since I spoke to you? Well, I know we speak most days, but how have you been since last Sunday, I suppose?
Yeah, well, like I said, just sort of like deciding I need to do something and actually doing it. So since the ban on going out more than once a day for exercise has been lifted, we've sort of like been having a bit of way of, a different way of doing it. So getting up on the morning before we start work, going for a mile, well, it's a 1.2 mile walk, then going for another 1.2 mile walk at lunchtime, and going for a short walk on the evening.
That's great.
It's about half a mile, so you end up doing about 3 miles a day.
Which is very good.
Spread out over the day. The dog's absolutely knackered.
That's an awful thing to call your wife. But you boom.
Yeah. I actually meant my Sheltie, not my other way.
I know, yeah.
So she's sort of like walking with us, but I think, to be honest, I would just go around on my own. It'd probably be easier just put my earbuds in and just go straight out sometimes. You know what I mean?
That's great. A good audio book, man. And just
you know. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, because I'm getting right behind on my audio books, and I want to catch up on them a little bit. So I'm going to suspend my Audible subscription.
I'm going to 3 audio books a week, maybe 4 sometimes. See, I'm flying through them, like, it's great.
It takes me about 3 months to get through an audiobook just because of, you know, I listen to it 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. Normally,
three or four hours at a go when I'm out. So it's,
Yeah,
but if you go for half an hour, like, if you do 2 or 3, if you're doing 3 miles a day, that's a good hour of podcasting every day. In 1 week, you'll have a book done, if it's 6 or 7, 8, 9 hours long, like,
yeah, that's
depending
true.
On the book, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
like it's kind of the Stephen King ones, or the Lord Jonah, kind of those ones are all 26, 27 hours. But the audiobooks or the autobiographies are kind of usually around 9 to 10. The science fiction ones are all kind of 6 to 9, 8, 9 hour long. So, you know, it's good. Like I've shocked a few people. I don't listen to music, so I couldn't go for 3 hours of music in my head. It'd drive me barmy.
Yeah, you see, I quite like to go out and just listen to a bit of music as well, but we're all different, aren't we? We're all different. So, other than that, I've been doing a bit of video editing for work. Yeah. So look at, well, in matter of fact, one of them you can actually see my video. It's more of a narrated PowerPoint, to be fair.
Okay.
But it's made into a video. I've done a safeguarding video for children and adults, for people working with children and adults volunteering. So working with our Head of Safer Communities and our Safeguarding Adults Board to just sort of like make sure that anybody who is working, you know, doing volunteer work, because if they see something that concerns them, that they know where they can go for help, as it were. So that's on the NYSCP website now, and on YouTube as well. So I was quite pleased with that. But I've also been doing another one, but that was just more video editing and you know, that sort of stuff. And yeah. Somebody had already put together a video, and I said, I think I could do better. And I redid it, and it was, you know, it just flowed better in the way it was cut.
Oh,
so, yeah, but I think that's, you know, probably one of the areas I'll probably be doing a little bit more work in the future, just because you need to teach people in different ways how to do stuff. Sometimes the written word is good. Other times people learn, you know, different learning styles learn from a 5-minute video. Mm. So, you know, I write things like what are called 1-minute guides or OMGs, which is sort of like a little blast of a safeguarding issue. And so just producing a video version of that is effectively what we're looking at possibly doing in the future. So it should be good.
Okay. Cool.
So, yeah, so that's sort of like been my week. So shall we move on to gaming in this week?
Yep.
All right, so gaming this week, and we have news. Lots of news.
It's been a busy few days, yeah.
Oh, it certainly has. Do you want to kick it off with one of the many freebies that are going on at the moment?
I think a lot of you kind of know by now, if you're out there, but in case you don't, as always, Epic Games comes out of nowhere and just gives some cracking games for free. I mean, it's crazy. So this week they gave Grand Theft Auto 5 available until May 21st. There was speculation it was coming out, and it was kind of confirmed yesterday. And it actually broke the website within minutes of it coming out. The website went down instantly. There was such a rush to get it and download it, which I'm not surprised. That game is massive, and to get it on PC, I mean, I have it myself now. I'm going to download it and see what it looks like on my high-end PC, you know.
But it looks very nice on a PC, and you can actually get a mod for it that is the ultra realism mod as well, or something like that. And then if you upload that, it's got better textures, that sort of thing, and it looks truly amazing.
Oh, I'll give that a go. So, again, a great free game. So, that was the first bit of news.
Epic's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, and apparently next week, the rumours are it's Civilization 6.
Ah, oh, another one I've got.
Yeah, and then because there was kind of a picture released in Borderlands 3 and Ark. What's that Ark game that you see? I know it's
Ark Survival Evolved, whatever it is.
The rumours are they're the kind of next 3 or 4 in a row that are coming out.
Yeah.
So yeah, for free, it's still great. Like, I haven't got Civilization. I'm not a big fan of it, but I'll still add it to my collection.
Yeah.
With a click of a button.
Oh, so I quite like Civilization games. You know, just as a bit of a palate cleanser more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a change of pace.
I'll have a look at it. If it's free, it's no harm. Look, it's not costing me anything. So.
Yeah, free is always my favourite amount.
Yeah.
Next bit of news is we've got Paper Mario arriving on the Nintendo Switch with an origami twist.
Mm.
And the report is, what evil paper shenanigans does the Origami King have planned?
Yeah.
Find out when Paper Mario, the Origami King, releases on the 17th of July.
Yeah, I saw
that. So is this one you interested in?
Definitely, but it's out the exact same day as Ghost of Tsushima. So
that's
a big day. But I'll pick it up because I played the original, the other versions on it on other consoles and handheld devices. They're brilliant games. And the trailer looks fantastic.
And the thing that you've got to remember as well is it's probably not going to come down in price.
No.
Not until the Switch is out of the window anyway.
No. I'm going to pick up day one. As you were saying last week on Sunday the podcast, the Halo 2 came out yesterday on PC and Game Pass. I downloaded it, had a look at it. They've done some great work on the... It looks really well known 4K, I have to say. And they've done some really stunning work on the cutscenes. The cutscenes are made from the ground up again.
Right.
It's really weird when you press... I'm playing on my Elite controller on the PC. When you press the button to go to the old graphics and back.
Yeah.
What we used to think was great graphics is just... Like, now we're kind of going, bloody hell. It's funny how your mind works and how you think something was stunning back then, but it really wasn't. Like,
I remember playing Colin McRae.
Yeah,
Two on the PlayStation 1? I think it was.
I love
it. And I remember playing it. It was really good, and it had snow.
Yeah,
Yeah. Do you remember? It was one of the first games that had like proper snow. I remember playing it and showing my dad and saying, wow, look at it. It's so realistic.
But even in if you think back now in your head, you actually see it being realistic.
Yeah.
But if you go look at us on YouTube or look at it, you're kind of going, oh my God, that's like when even phones look better than it now, like, you know?
But don't you think, because I think it's to do with the technology of the televisions, because back then, which would have been, what, about 98, 99, yeah. something like that,
yeah.
You had CRT TVs.
Yeah.
And even though they were low resolution, how they produced a picture is yeah. different to the way that the LCD and all of those sort of TVs make it. And yeah. they looked better. So although technically speaking, you know, like for HD, four times the resolution, it didn't necessarily look four times better.
Mm.
And I think that was part of it in terms of the graphics. Because if you run something through a proper HDMI adapter, it does seem to do a better job than if you plug it into an analog port on the back of a modern TV.
I suppose. If you look at the Xbox backward compatibility, even some of the Xbox One games now, when they're 4K, 4K upscaled, like I was looking at Splinter Cell there from the original Xbox.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm going to have a look at it, see what the upscaling's like. And it looks really good, 4K upscaled. Yeah, the textures are bland and there's not a lot going on in the screen and stuff. But it still looked pretty good for 4K upscaled, like, you know. But yeah, so look, Halo 2, if you've got Game Pass on the PC, that's just a crazy offer again, you know.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, next one is Mafia Definitive Edition will be out on August 28th.
Yeah, with the Mafia, and the Mafia 2 is out 19th of May as well, isn't it?
It is.
But they're rebuilding the original, the first one, from the ground up, apparently.
It does look amazing.
It looks stunning. It actually made me want to go back and play 3. It looks so good. But look, again, that's a good game. And I think that'll sell well. And all DLCs included as well, I think, which is great.
Yeah.
Finally, after a while, we have an official golf simulator after being announced. PGA have put their names back into a game. So PGA Tour 2K21 is coming out on the 21st of August. And Justin Thomas is going to be on the cover. So the trailer looks good. I'll probably pick this up because I quite like a golf game if I'm watching TV and you can just play away, you know. So it has all the official players, all the official courses again. It's been a while. You kind of go back to Tiger Woods, I think, which was when it was at its best, you know.
Mm.
Rory McIlroy one was poor. So
I didn't mind it, though. There's things to it. But I still thought beat the old original leaderboard on the Commodore 64.
Yeah.
That was a great game for the time.
So, yeah, look, it's another games are coming fast and hard again now, so it's good, like the, you know.
Yeah.
So, definitely. Next one is.
Sony unveils PlayStation Studios' new look with a Marvel Studios like intro. Sony's simplifying the branding it uses for games developed by Sony Interactive. I didn't think really they could make that any more simpler than just saying Sony Interactive on it.
Well, it was Sony Interactive Entertainment Worldwide Studios. Yeah. That was the full name, like.
I know, but the way it just popped up on the screen in black and white and then disappeared again, and, you know, how can you make anything more simple than that?
Yeah,
but
the logo's such a rip-off of Marvel, though. And even the new Microsoft logo.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But
so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's something different than that. And on Sony, then connection-wise, the next story is Epic unveiled their new Unreal Engine 5 with a graphics demo, which is running, they said, on a PS5. But now, from what I've been reading this week, Ninja Theory actually is using the same engine for Hellblade 2. So, I mean, we've already kind of seen this briefly in the Xbox montage that they showed. But it still looked stunning, that tech demo. I mean, that looked like a game I'd even want to play, to be honest with you. And they said they captured it on a PS5 via HDMI cable. So if that's next gaming generation graphics, then that's definitely a step up, you know?
Well, do you know what? I've been looking at some of the things that people have been saying in other in groups.
Yeah.
And some people have been saying they weren't that impressed with it. And I think that...
I
thought that they looked all right. And I think that the other thing that everybody's really got to remember is we're at the beginning of a new gen now. On the cusp of it. And the thing is, at the moment, the graphics on the Xbox One and the PS4, you know, and the X and the Pro are at the pinnacle. They know how to program these machines now and get the best out of them.
Yeah.
Which is going to naturally make them closer to the next gen. It's not going to make them better, but it's going to make them closer to it. The next gen comes on and they're going to have all of that plus the extra bells and whistles that, you know, with the ray tracing and all of that.
Yeah.
So they are going to look a little bit better, but the gap will grow on a year-to-year basis.
But I think the next generation is going to be more of a quality of life upgrades, I think, with the fast load times and the having 4 or 5 games on the go, kind of switching and things. That, you know yourself, there's sometimes, like even though I'm playing Assassin's Creed tonight, some of the load sections were slow, like going from like the fast travels and the stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, I wouldn't mind having instant fast travel and the same graphics. I would say, well, yeah, that's a great upgrade for me. I'm thrilled, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly what you mean.
So, look, for me, it looked impressive. And if the Hellblade 2 game has been made with that engine, Ninja Theory know how to make a stunning-looking game, like, so...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for Ninja Theory and Hellblade 2, because I absolutely love Hellblade. I think it's a fantastic game.
No, I didn't know that, Hayden.
Really? I hit it so well today, seeing as I have it on every format going, apart from the Casio digital watch.
I think you're keeping the company going, never mind buying all the games. You're buying shares in Ninja. You probably told Phil Spencer to buy the company.
I'm the CEO. I wish.
But
I can't wait for Hellblade. So the next bit of news is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 announced for the PS4, Xbox One and PC as well. So,
and it actually looked pretty good. It looked like a nice upgrade.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer first? And they kind of did the old style one grinding, and then it flipped over to the new upgrade. And there's a big difference. So I loved the first one. I played the first Tony Hawk's game to death when it first came out. So I'm looking forward to that. And next one now is, if there's any Myst fans out there, an old style game, real Myst, they're calling it, Masterpiece Edition, out of nowhere is coming to Switch, launching on May 21st with all the original Mage bonus games, all the gameplay, they've added dynamic environments, rippling water, falling rain, like they've really upscaled the advanced graphics for a depth of fields, all that kind of stuff. So they've really done a big update on this game, kind of. So if anyone's out there I played it years ago. It's a great game, Myst. It was kind of one of so on the Switch, perfect for it, I think. So that's a good one again. Another good game coming out. And then yesterday, Elder Scrolls Blades got released for free on the Switch. I downloaded it, had a go off it. It's basically like Skyrim,
right?
Only it's free to play with in-game purchases, but it looks really good. On I think it came out on phone. It was out on iPhones and iPads and stuff first, but they've done a bit of work and upscaled this and added more stuff for the Switch. It's free games download. You can play it away for free, and there's dungeons and just think like you're playing Skyrim. That's basically it. First person perspective? Excuse me, first person perspective. And again, a free-to-play game, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. I must admit, I was watching a video the other day, and I can't remember what it was, but it was one of these sort of like, top five, like disaster games or whatever. And Fallout 76 was on that. And, the comment of the... YouTuber was this was a real blemish on Bethesda's, you know, ability to produce polished, you know, impeccable games. Now, I don't normally reply, put a comment on a YouTube, but I said, was that an ironic statement, or did I fall into opposites world? And then had to point out, you know, the flying upside down dragons and people getting stuck in the scenery and all of that sort of stuff. All the things I always moan on about Bethesda games, which finally people have now decided, actually, these things are actually bugs and they're not like nice, lovable features in the game.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, people have seen the light. Yeah. I just think it's an appalling company that's just getting worse and worse.
I was reading the day that their new game that they're starting to promote now, the Space One Star something or whatever it's called, that they're using the same game engine that they've used for Fallout 4 and for...
Yeah, the one that is like older than...
Yeah, why are they doing that? When you see like an engine coming out like Unreal 5, I mean, go in, spend the money, pay for that engine and its assets, and then build a game around it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a game designer, so I suppose there's reasons for everything. Maybe they're used to working with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that game engine is so far out of date. Yeah. It was old fashioned in the Bronze Age.
It was. It's Jesus. Definitely old.
Yeah, they should really.
The colours are muddied looking, and it's just not a nice engine, like.
No. Anyway. The last bit of news, and this is the one that's really good for
I have another one after, but that I added, so I didn't put into the folder.
Fair enough. All right, the penultimate bit of news in that case then is its 10th anniversary, and Alan Wake will be available on Xbox Game Pass for Xbox and PC from the 21st of May. This is massive because this was a game that took off Game Pass. Off Xbox.
Music licensing or something, wasn't it?
And I think if you bought it, you couldn't even actually re-download it at that point. But
no, I still have it on my Xbox that I have here, and I have it on my Xbox One in the library still. So I still have it, so I'm blessed. But still, like, that game is... It's just such a great game.
This is a game that needs remaking or a sequel. Because Alan Wake's American Nightmare. Have you heard my story about that?
No.
You know that there's a crashing meteorite.
Yes.
A crashing satellite.
Satellite
in that game.
Yeah.
Right. I was playing that game one night. Mm. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. Can't remember what time it was, but it was like really late. Everybody was in bed. I was playing that game, and that happened, and then I looked out of the window when I was in my previous den.
Mm.
I looked out of the window to see this really bright light.
Lightning.
And it flew right overhead.
All
right. I saw it coming from the distance, from horizon.
Yeah.
Right the way over. And it was actually a meteorite that skipped from Edinburgh to past London.
Jesus.
And it went straight over my house. And it was literally 10 seconds after that satellite had dropped.
Oh, what are the chances?
Oh, it was an infinity to one chance that happened, I tell you, mate. And honest to God, because if you go back far enough in my YouTube, Facebook, you can actually see me putting in my real life reaction to that at the time. Yeah. And I've said this on the podcast before, but oh my God, that was the most freakish situation I've ever had playing a video game. And I'll tell you, I just had to turn around and say, I'm putting switching this off, because I thought, if I play anymore, I'm going to get blooming zombies after me.
Yeah.
I thought, that's it. That's the world telling me enough playing for tonight. Jesus, that spooked me. That really, really spooked me.
Let's guess.
So completely true, though. Seriously, it is in my Facebook. You can see it, and it all links to the news articles.
What are the chances of that? Like,
it was unbelievable, utterly unbelievable. And I just remember how bright it was, seeing this object burning up in the atmosphere.
Yeah,
you know, and you could actually see the car when you looked at it, but it was just so bright. I could see it, this little speck in the distance, and literally right over my house. Weird. But that start that hit the atmosphere in about Edinburgh or somewhere like that. And,
well,
you know, amazing.
That's class.
Yeah. Anyway, what was your last bit of news?
No, then? It was just what we were talking today, but I know it's just that they released Lego Ninjago, the movie, yes, video game today for free on all formats, Xbox, PlayStation, and PC until May 21st. That's a great game for free, Lego game for anybody who's got some kids out there. You can pick it up in all three formats, free, no problem. So,
I'm surprised there isn't a Switch version on now.
Is a Switch version, right, I think, but they're not giving that, I think, because they do make money off the Switch, you know. But it's just, again, it's something else nice to give away for free, and I'm enjoying finding those little treats and adding them to the collection, you know. It's great.
Yeah, well, you know that you're going to dip into it at some point, don't you? So,
that's all the gaming news. A good bit happening was all, like, we're not far away from Last of Us 2 in June. It's 19th, is it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then we've got Ghost of Tsushima. I'm really excited for that one. That trailer looked stunning, and that was a good state of play now yesterday, I have to say. They really showed that game off very well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am too. It suits me. It's that Asian. I'm going to play it with full Japanese voice, you know. I'm not even going to talk about a movie I watched later on as a samurai movie. So, you know me, my foreign movies. So that game is perfect for me.
Oh, yes, absolutely, definitely. No, I'm looking forward to that as well. But there's loads of, we're starting to hit that time when
the games
are going. Because also, 11 days after that is Destroy All Humans, which is the remake.
I played that. That's a good game.
Yeah, so that'll be good as well.
It's quite a wishy game. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
Humor's good.
So I'm looking forward to that as well. So there's a lot coming out.
It seems to be all nothing for ages, and then last week, the last maybe 7-8 days, there's lots of stuff happening in the industry.
Yeah,
you know.
And I'll tell you another fantastic game that is coming out on the Switch, and it'll be perfect for the Switch. Burnout Paradise Remastered on the 19th.
Yeah, but I'm not paying €55 for it. It's very expensive for a game that I have on everything and can pick it up for €4 and anything, it's cheap.
Yeah.
But they pay €55 for the Switch version. I don't know, man, that's a lot.
Yeah, but you're not a true Burnout Paradise fan unless you get it on every format.
I haven't. I finished this in two formats. The motorbikes and the planes, I played every version of it. I loved it. It's a shame they didn't remake it or do a better version of it. Another version, you know.
I suppose
Forza Horizon is a bit like it in a way, kind of.
Yeah, but it just doesn't really pick up on that same. Oh,
there was something about that game, you know?
Yeah.
When you played the world, it was just getting all the billboards around this and collecting all 100 of them, and it was a great game.
And doing the crash time on every road.
Yeah.
God, that, because... I did almost every achievement on that. The only ones I didn't do is the multiplayer ones because people just couldn't do barrel rolls to save their life. I managed to do all of the two-player ones, but the three players and upwards, it was very sporadic in terms of, you know, how many of those achievements you could get.
That remastered version is very nice looking as well on the Xbox, I have to say.
It is, but the normal version has got, I think, a 4K update. That looks great as well.
Oh, did it?
I'm sure it did.
I didn't know that. Oh, I must have a look at that. Yeah, so look, it's a good time for gamers at the moment. I'm delighted. Something to look forward to every kind of month now, from now until September, October, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, that's all the gaming news I have.
Yeah. I mean, you haven't been, well, other than Assassin's Creed, if you want to say anything about that, or...
No, I'm just, like I said, I mean, loads of people have played this. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's a hard game to, how would I say, to describe, because it's a real grinding game, but it's an enjoyable grinding, I suppose. If you, it suits my, OCD or CDO, it suits that for me, because I have to go to every single question mark, literally... right alongside each other, and I don't move on with the story till I've cleared every question mark. And then what I find is some of the question marks I've done have actually been quests that I'll get later on, and I end up just getting the quest straight away completed. So
yeah. And occasionally question marks appear later on as well. Yeah. It back where you think you've cleared.
Yeah, exactly. I'm at a good level now. I'm at level 51. I have like all my gear maxed out. I have a super rare horse that has all flames. It looks really cool. I'm playing as Cassandra. She's much better. I prefer the Cassandra character. And tonight now, within the 5 hours, two rare achievements popped because I did two story quests. One was the a poet's quest, it was called, or something. And there was only like 3% have done that quest. That just goes to show how big the game is as well, you know.
Have you got the DLC?
No, I'm going to, hopefully, my plan is to finish it. Because I've heard the DLC is fantastic.
It is really well worth getting.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't do the DLC until you finish the main game, though.
No, you can't.
So, I'm a long way from finishing the main game.
I mean, because this was one of those games that Steve and I had a difference of opinion on right at the start, because I went straight for the Ultimate Edition of this.
Oh, okay.
And got everything included in, you know, yeah, but...
Because they have supported the game very well, in fairness, because it's been so long since, like, they've kind of kept it going. And Ubisoft do that anyway. They've kind of kept it going for 2 years. Or is it 2-3 years now? Is it 2 years, is it? Maybe two years by the time we get to the next one. Like, they've done a lot of big DLCs added onto it, you know?
And those DLCs are massive as well.
Yeah.
It's also the Ultimate Edition came with... Assassin's Creed 3 remastered, which also had the Vita game that was released as well, that was remastered as well. So to me, it was a really good thing, because the Assassin's Creed remastered, 3 remastered, was about 35-40 quid as well.
Yeah,
so
that's still kind of held its price as well. It hasn't really gone down.
No, exactly. And I've now got that on a Switch as well.
Your guess. But I'm very excited for Valhalla. That's a Viking game now is perfect for me. This is the ultimate game for me now. God of War mixed with Assassin's Creed, mixed with that style of play. And from what they're saying as well, it's not going to be quite as big. But we'll see.
You've got the big bushy beard for it, haven't you, as well? Let's face it.
My character is going to look very much like me.
Yeah. It's interesting because I always play Alexius.
Yeah.
When I'm playing Assassin's Creed, but you've got Cassandra.
I went for Cassandra because before I played it, when I was listening to the kind of guys I trust, who've always kind of, like, the guys I listen to, podcasters and stuff, I kind of, like yourself, no, or Steve or something. Mm. You kind of, like, you guys, you know, and I said, listen, look, they've got good opinions. Everybody was saying Cassandra's character was a lot more realistic and came across a lot more natural than the male character did. And I have to say, she's fantastic. So I've actually seen YouTube videos of the male guy, and he's very wooden and very, but she's brilliant. She really comes across really kind of very, very human, like, I suppose is the word I'm looking for. And her, the actress that's playing her, is very good. So, look, again, it's personal taste. It's, you know.
Oh yeah, I have to admit, I'm just a bit, you know, old fashioned. But if there's a male character and a female character, I'll always go the male character.
And I'm usually the same 99% of the time. Even when I started playing it as a female, my wife commented on it, and I said, no, it's just a better character for me. It just fits the world better.
Yeah.
So look, again, it's, you know, all personal taste, you know.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is.
I'm looking forward now to playing it again tomorrow when I get home from work and stuff. Hopefully I'll jump back on for a couple of hours.
Yeah, well, I have to admit, you're making me think, shall I progress my PlayStation version of it a little bit more?
Well, I think this will keep me going on, because I can't really get Final Fantasy VII at the moment, unless anyone listening wants to send me an old message on Facebook or something that they want to sell us. We might do a deal and post a package or something. But I'm not getting it digitally, like I told you. So,
yeah.
We'll see. I have a couple of games if people want to swap and stuff as well. So if anyone's interested. Again, that's it. That's my gaming. It's nothing major, really, Hayden, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, I haven't had much chance of gaming other than doing a bit of Destiny and a bit of Iron Banana, but we don't want to really talk about that, to be honest. So shall we move on to movies, TV and streaming?
Right.
All right, so movies, TV and streaming, and we have news again. Alan, do you want to start us off with the bit of news first?
Yeah, well, this one now came out probably an hour or 2 hours ago before we were ready to start the podcast. CBS have just announced the spin-off for the new Star Trek, and the name of it, it's going to be called Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Again, starring Anderson Mount as Captain Pike, Rebecca as number one, and Eden Pike as Spock. And as the series will follow Pike, Spock, and number one a decade before Captain Kirk boarded the Enterprise. And they explore new worlds and the galaxy. There was a great new trailer, a kind of a trailer them talking about it. So I like the name, Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Well, I'd heard actually that Strange New Worlds might actually be the working title for it, and it might actually be called Star Trek Enterprise again.
No, it was just announced an hour ago.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It literally just came up recently. CBS just announced it, that it's going to be called Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
I think that would be good, and I'd like to revisit the Talos incident as well. That would be really good.
But it's interesting, it's 10 years before Kirk, so it's going to be good. But like, there's a good couple of seasons there now they can do leading into Kirk, you know, and leading into Pike's downfall, which they've already forewarned is going to happen. So I think it's good.
That shouldn't happen on the Enterprise though, because that happened afterwards.
Yeah.
But there is a rumor that Kirk might appear on this, and he's been recast. I can't remember who it was.
I see that now, but that'd be great as well.
I'm not so sure it would. I'd like to see a Kirkless one, because this to me is about Pike and Anton Mount. He's fantastic as that.
Brilliant.
I don't want that to be distracted from him, because he has captured Pike perfectly.
Yeah, for me. I quite like the number one character, Rebecca Rumingen, her name is.
Yeah.
You know, she gets a couple of great, she does a great episode, one of the shorts with Spock stuck in the elevator and it's a great episode.
And of course she's taking number one, who is was originally played by Marjorie Barrett Roddenberry.
That's correct. And the executives didn't like it, I think, wasn't it? And they said a woman could never be in charge or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's why they changed it for the next pilot. So
I've heard a couple of really weird stories going around about this, because also one of the things was about Nyota Uhura being a man.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like, really, for God's sake, Star Trek is progression. It's progressive, always has been. But give it a bloomin' rest, for God's sake. Uhura has been, since 1966, a woman.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be consistent. It has to be a woman.
Yeah.
There has never been a story of Uhura being a transsexual or anything. Let's not make it any more complicated than it needs to be. Uhura is a woman, and that's it.
Well, for me, I think if this is done right, which I think hopefully will be, I think this Captain Pike, or Anson Mount, has potential to become one of the best captains of the Star Trek universe, I think. Because I really like him.
Yeah,
you know, already. Definitely. So, even after one season, you know. Just has a great screen presence when he's on there, and the way he interacts. And there's just something about him, you know.
Oh, I think he's really fantastic. He's just so believable.
Yeah.
As that he oozes the authority, that role that of the captain, everything. He's just absolutely perfect with it. So,
for all of us.
Yeah, well, I wrote on that petition, you know, to say let's get him as the new series.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be really interesting to see how that develops and, you know, where
I think it was really down to the way they played it as well in season two. I think there was no plan for this spin-off. I think that but the characters were played and done so well that they actually earned their way to their own series, if that makes sense. You know, I definitely think it was great, you know. So I'm really excited for it. It's great to see it. So I like it. Star Trek, Strange New Worlds. It'll be interesting now to see what the theme will be, the music, you know, first at the start, the opening credits. Looking forward to hearing that as well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Yeah, what will they actually what will they actually do?
So we've gone from hardly no Star Trek on TV for years, just movies, to we have Sector 31 spin-off. We've got Discovery, Picard,
and now we've got
the Below Decks, and we've got Star Trek Strange New Worlds. So for Trekkies, it's a great world at the moment for us.
Yeah, and it'd be great when we can start going back to conventions and stuff like that, won't it, as well?
Yeah, it's great. So, yeah, so that's good news today. So that's my one.
Okay, so the next one is the teasers for the Avatar 2 have been coming relatively frequently over the last few weeks. First off, we saw an image about the water tanks and the cast and the crew using to capture the movie's ambitious underwater sequences. And now we have our first look at the primary cast. Zoe Saldana, Sam Worthington, Kate Winslet.
If you look at the picture, you'll see I was shocked when I saw it.
Yeah. Cliff Curtis, swimming among the sea of the bubbles. The sequence are said to take place primarily underwater and utilise new tech specifically designed for this movie. Hence why we've been waiting for Avatar, and Avatar 2 was taken so long. Cameron revealed that the first Avatar 2 concept art at CES 2020 trade show. Meanwhile, Avatar's sequel's budget has been reported to be $1
billion. Yeah, for all four of them, yeah.
Yeah, making them some of the most expensive movies of all time. All four movies have release dates. So we've got December 17th, 2021, with three in December 2023, four in 2025,
yeah,
and five in 2027.
Yeah, he's definitely going down that Star Wars, Lord of the Rings route, Christmas release, or Harry Potter kind of Christmas release times.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I saw some of the pictures now they showed of the cast and everything, and Sigourney Weaver was back, and we spoke about that a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, the tanks are huge that they're filming in, and it's all underwater, and some of the concept art looks really good. So, I didn't like the first one, but it's slowly kind of piquing my interest to see where he's going. Cameron always does stuff different, really, doesn't he? He kind of pushes the boundary of visuals.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, he rarely makes a bad movie, in fairness to him. Or you know, it's always spectacle. So, next one is my favourite TV show. One of them. Doom Patrol. It was one of DC...
I love Doom Patrol. Yeah.
So, it was one of DC Universe's biggest hits, which is great to hear. And season two has been announced for June 25th. The plot summary kind of shares that the members of the Doom Patrol finds themselves shrunken and stranded. It's such a strange show. Stranded on Cliff's Thai race car track. And here they begin to kind of deal with feelings of betrayal, confronting their old baggage, personal baggage, as each member faces challenge of growing beyond their own past traumatic experiences. They kind of must come together to protect the newest member, played by Dorothy Spiner, Niles' daughter. She's the new character. We saw her last at kind of towards the end of season one, whose powers remain a mystery, but the real threat to the beginning of the end of the world. I cannot wait for this, really, Aidan. I'm excited for this. This show is just brilliant. It's absolutely batshit crazy, sorry for cursing, but it's just great to watch, you know? So that's good news. The next one.
The Purge and Treadstone are being cancelled.
Got it for Treadstone. It was so good. But the ratings the ratings were very poor, and I was surprised.
Yeah.
So, and The Purge got two seasons. I love The Purge movies, and the TV show was really good. But again, ratings, you know.
Well, everything lives and dies by ratings now, doesn't it?
Yeah. The next bit of news I put in there for kind of yourself and Hayden, because I know you're massive Halloween fans, the movie.
You mean Steve?
Steve, sorry. Sorry, yourself and Steve. I apologize.
It's all right, don't worry.
It's late at night. And kind of the trend at the moment is all these big, like the Goonies and Back to the Future, they've all done it. So now they're getting John Carpenter, Jamie Lee Curtis, and some of the rest of the cast are coming together to have a Halloween watch party. So if you go and keep an eye on Twitter, John Carpenter's Twitter and all kinds of Jamie Lee Curtis, you'll see what date it's going. It's on this weekend, I think, and how you can tune in and watch it. So what you do is you sync your version of Halloween, and then they are on YouTube talking about it while you watch it. So if you're a fan, which I know you are, that'll be good for you, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Before I forget, the guy who was supposed to be reported as being Captain Kirk, or the younger Captain Kirk, is Jake Canavero.
I'm just Googling him. I don't know. What's he been in or anything? Or
I can't remember what he's was actually been in. I'm trying to think. He was... No, it's gone.
I'll Google it. We'll have it for next week.
We have
it on Sunday. Sure, we can have it on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Sorry, just a bit of a diversion, but I just couldn't remember.
I just thought the name doesn't ring a bell at me.
Yeah. You know when you just... It's late.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. So, Edgar Wright has been doing... Double bill for
this is something I put in. I'll go through there if you wanted.
All right, okay, yeah.
I follow Edgar Wright. You know, he's made the Cornetto trilogy and Baby Driver, some great movies. And he's actually, his knowledge of movies is frightening. He really is now a movie buff. And he does all these, he actually goes around the world and he does double bill movies in famous studios or cinemas around in LA and Japan and everything. He gets hired to come in and put two movies together, that there's a little connection between them. But because of the lockdown, he's been doing it now on Twitter. And I've been following along the last few weeks. And I kind of went to mention it before, but I didn't until I said, God, I'll throw it in for tonight. And some guys might want to follow him on Twitter. So like yesterday, was very good. He had, what did he have today? He had The Italian Job and The Hot Guys with Robert Redford. He had them together, both kind of, they're both capers, like bank robbery, or, you know, they're both kind of like real English style gangster one guy, you know what they're like. Or like yesterday he put together Headers and he put The World's Greatest Dad. And then he puts a kind of a bio underneath it, why they're connected. And they're like kind of two dark comedies dealing with school suicide. And then he did a double bill on a couple of days ago, Whatever Happens to Baby Jane and Misery, to show you in the quarantine is not so bad. Two Oscar winning and they're both isolation shockers. You know, they're kind of misery. He's stuck in the house, like we've seen it, like he gets his legs broken. That's a fantastic movie. And the Baby Jane's the same as well. And he did a great one as well, which was double bill for Anvil, The Story of Anvil, and Brass. Right. And then he had Brass After the Screaming Stops, like two kind of, and he wrote down two of most entertaining and touching music docs of recent years. See the Canadian Rockers and the Brothers Goss Come Back from the Brink of Rule Again. So what he's doing is kind of putting two movies together. Like he's input ones from 1940 with movies from 2010. And then he tweets along while you're watching it. It's really, really good. If you're into your movies, it's fantastic, the insight he brings into it. But he's watched over 150 movies. He gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning. He's really great, though, to follow on Twitter. He gets up at 6 every morning and he watches a movie for 2 hours before his family gets up. And then he'd watch another one at 2 o'clock, another one at 4 o'clock, another one at 10 o'clock. And that's what he's doing at the moment, and just going through his entire, he's got 1,300 movies or something on his list, and he's going through them all that he's wanted to see while he has time now. So look, if someone's interested in movies, it's a great Twitter feed to follow along. You'll get some great kind of double bills to watch if you're off or if you're interested in that kind of stuff. So I thought I'd show it in there. It's kind of an odd one, but it's good.
Cool.
So that's all news, I think.
Oh, by the way, it was Jake Cannavale, and he was on The Mandalorian. He was, you know, the bounty, or the guy who was trying to get into the guild.
Oh, yeah. He's not bad.
Yeah. He's the one who's been eyed up for Kirk.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
So I've sent you a link on the chat.
Perfect.
Yeah, so shall we? Do you want to tell us what you've been watching then?
I'll go too quickly there. I won't. The first one I watched is a movie that's become a kind of a cult hit, and I've been dying to watch it, and I finally got it a couple of days ago. It's called Blood Quantum. It's available on Shudder. And this is a zombie apocalypse movie, kind of a B-movie. It's Canadian. It won a lot of awards and kind of drew a lot of attention, the director, Jeff Barnaby, last year. And it's really got this kind of cult standing now, very quickly. It tells a kind of the usual zombie story, but like through an interesting take. Through the Native American community of the 80s, like the Navajo, it's the Red Crow, Navajo, the Red Crow in Native Americans. And they're dealing with a gruesome outbreak that starts off and then it jumps 6 months into the future. You kind of see it starting off and then it jumps 6 months into the future. And we see how their lives have kind of radically changed. Mm-hmm. But the twist on this is that everybody who is a First Nation resident or like a Native American, for some reason, they're immune to the virus and they can't get it. And only white people in the area or white people become the zombies.
Mm.
So it's a very interesting idea. The idea that the natives are finally the ones with the power to destroy or rebuild society, like after so much was taken away from them, you know. Right? Now, this is an homage to George A. Romero. It really is. In visuals are really inventive, and it's got that kind of, remember like that budget look that Romero used to do
with
Dawn of the Dead, but it still looks really good, if that makes sense, you know.
High quality, low budget,
but it actually suited the movie here, and if that makes, you know, like I love that kind of style. It doesn't hold back on the gore, and I mean it does not hold back on the gore. It really takes it to the next level. It starts off really kind of slow at the first opening scene. You see this guy fishing at the river and he catches fish and salmon and trout and he's gutting it. Mm-hmm. And then when the fish are gutted and they're lying on the deck, they come back to life and they start flipping around the place. So then you see the virus starting to overtake things. It can overtake animals, dogs that have died or were put down. They all start coming back to life through it. Now, it is a little bit slow in place and plods along at times a little bit, but it really does get good. It's really funny and it's gory as hell. And they actually put in animated segments as well. Like, did you ever see they did it in Harry Potter movie where they added in an animated section, which was really nicely done. They've done the same here, kind of manga style. They've added in these animations to show zombies attacking, which is interesting way of doing high budget effects without actually doing it with real film. Like they have hundreds of zombies attacking, but it's all done kind of manga style.
A bit like they did on the long cut of Watchmen as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it really suits it. It's kind of feels like other zombie movies, right? But what they've done here, and it's really interesting, for some reason, they really took their time to introduce each character and their history and their relationship to each other, which sometimes doesn't happen in these kind of movies. So I found myself getting really invested in the stories before like which inevitably happens. They all kind of start to die off, you know. And then the bad guy in it is called Nassal. He's one of the chief's sons, and he's kind of becomes, if you've seen Negan in The Walking Dead, he kind of becomes this, and he kind of like, he's fighting, he doesn't want to help the white man, you know. So he starts going out, he covers himself in the skin of the zombies, like smallpox blankets and stuff, and he just starts walking out into the streets of the towns and villages, just spreading the disease as far as he can. and just kind of, so he becomes the real lead of the show. That's why I kind of saw him, but he plays it so evil, it's so well. This, there's scenes with chainsaws. There's one, a Native American with a samurai sword, that a fight sequence that happens, that just has to be seen to be believed. Some sections look budget. They had that budget look about them. And then other scenes look high quality, like something you'd see in a top blockbuster movie. It's called Blood Quantum. If anyone, I'll put the trailer up on Facebook. It's a Canadian movie. A lot of the actors you'll know from other movies where they've played, like in The Remnant. You know, those kind of Indian characters, actors.
Yeah. All
kind of, so you'd recognize them. I couldn't say any of their names really. I think you'd love this, Hayden. I think Steve would love it because you like these kind of gory ones. Yes, it's a zombie apocalypse, but it's done with a nice twist. I really enjoyed it.
I always like a good zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, if you get a
chance. You know where you are with a good zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, but it's just such an interesting take in it where the Native Americans are immune to it. And they have, like, it's 6 months later on, they have their whole reservation surrounded with walls, and now the rest of the Americans are coming to them for help, you know? And their kind of decision is like, will we help them or not? And what happens then when they invite them in, how that affects their culture and what happens to them, while all the time you have constant attacking by zombies and stuff. It's really good. It's a really good movie. I was delighted I watched it, and I'm going to watch it again. Quickly then, I finished, it was only six episodes, Into the Night, a new Netflix show. It's a Belgium show. It started with a kind of a silly premise when I was looking at the trailer. But you know yourself, there's nothing on, you kind of just, when you've nothing, you kind of just throw something on and I'll give it a go. And then before you know it, you've six episodes watched. You know?
Yeah.
So this silly premise is the sun is killing people. That's basically it. But somehow this kind of a sci-fi series manages to turn the premise into a real tense and taut apocalyptic trailer. So a midnight flight to Moscow from Brussels, it kind of starts to board people on, like first class passengers and other people. And then they're all kind of like nurses, and they're the usual. There's one rich jerk there, there's family people, there's kids, there's kind of pilots, all that kind of stuff. Like, and then one man hijacks the plane, and he's claiming he's from NATO, but you know, like, but the passengers get frightened, and he says, "Look, just fly the plane west. I'm telling you, I'm going to save your lives. If you don't fly west, stay away from the sunrise, you're going to die." So the first episode of the six-part series kind of plays like a terrorist thriller. It was like a terrorist movie. I was watching like 24 or something, and I was going, "What the hell?" You know. And then slowly, every episode then builds up. Like, they have to land for fuel, and they have to land for food, and all the time when they land, they've only got an hour or two to get the plane full, and so they're constantly flying away from the sun around the world. You know, so it's very, very interesting taking it. It's kind of like Speed, you know, like if you go below 50 miles an hour, the bomb will go off, that kind of thing, really.
Yeah.
But the bomb is the rising sun, and you're dealing with passengers who want to get off, and fuel is going, and so just basically think Speed on a plane, you know, that's basically what it is. If you like shows like Lost or The Leftovers, you'll enjoy this because there's a good twist. It's really good. It's a good story. It finishes really well and sets up well for next season. And the rating actually get reviewed really well. Now, it's in foreign language if you have subtitles, which we spoke about, which I know. But the English dub, if you go into settings on your Netflix, you can go to English dub, you know. It's actually done really well, I have to say. I'd say some of the characters are using their own voices. They're speaking English. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Six episodes, I flew through it. Highly recommend this. Another little kind of nice little find on Netflix. So I was
some delighted. Good stuff on Netflix at the moment.
They really are. It's like they knew that the pandemic was coming, because even what's coming out over the next few months, they're pumping stuff out, Hayden. They really are. So it's great. And then before we go to our topic on Cobra Kai in a minute, I rewatched one of my favorite samurai movies, 13 Assassins. I don't know if you've seen this one, Hayden, have you?
No, I don't think I have. I can't remember.
Look, it's a very basic plot. It's a group of assassins come together for a suicide mission to kill an evil lord. The film is just, it's massive in budget. It's the, you know, these Asian Japanese movies, they don't do anything by half.
No.
It's directed by Toshiga Mika. I really like him as a director. He's directed like Blade of Immortal, Yakuza, Apocalypse, and Lessons of Evil. Now, you guys probably know by now, I'm a massive foreign Asian movie fan, Korean movie fan. I love them. So this is one of my favorite ones, and I rewatch it every now and then. The movie is kind of really dedicated to, how do I say, dedicated to giving you like what you expect from a samurai movie. You know, the heroism against impossible odds, kind of the samurai code that we know that they used to live by. It's set in 1844 towards the end of the medieval Edo period, when it's kind of, it was towards the end of the samurai period, really, warriors, they were kind of getting very rare after that, you know, that kind of way of life kind of fell away after that, as it hit 19th century. What I like about it starts off kind of slow. It's kind of a real slow period piece, kind of set in feudal Japan, like Shogun, if you remember Shogun. So it's very much like that, the start, the first hour. You've got the evil emperor who wants to kill everybody, and then you've got the kind of building the 13 guys together. And it all builds into the last 45 minutes, which is entirely devoted to this one battle. And it's an ingenious battle scene. Yeah, and you have to see it to really understand it. Even like 10 years later, it's still, I'm gobsmacked every time I watch it. I find something new in it. The battles are really done like great perfection. They look very realistic. It's not that fake ninja stuff. It's real proper, well, I'm guessing, but the way I envision proper samurai fights were, you know, back then. There's none of that kind of like swing the swords done slowly. There's a lot of choreography got into this, the set pieces and the way the movements of the camera. The last battle takes place in a village, so the 13 assassins are all over different parts of the villages, fighting 200 or 300 other soldiers coming at them, and the camera kind of flows through the whole village, going from each kind of battle to battle, each kind of stab, killing, each kind of cut, overheads, and it just kind of like a roller coaster goes through the whole village, and you get a sense that you're in the middle of the battle.
Yeah.
It's really stunning. I don't know if you've ever seen Seven Samurais. That's kind of what the what's that movie? It's based on Seven Samurais. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, is it?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a black and white movie done by Akira Kurosawa. I'm not very good at names, sorry. I have it here in Blu-ray and black and white. I love it. And the original 300 Spartans, where you have that kind of feel hidden, where you have a couple of handful of guys holding off an army.
Yeah.
But just with samurais. But it's just so well done. It's just like it won Oscars. It's won all awards when it came out in 2010. I can't believe it was 10 years ago. So I was just in the mood to watch it. And then after watching that trailer for Ghost of Tsushima, the next couple of hours later, I think it was the next day I watched it, I was just, oh my God. It's like they know what kind of game they're making for me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So if anyone, again, if people like foreign movies, 13 Assassins, 2010, it came out. It's a must watch if you're into that kind of stuff. Highly recommend it. And that's kind of what I watched over the last few days. So hope there's some interesting stuff there for you guys.
You know? Yeah, definitely. I'm going to check out some of those myself. So for me, I know exactly what you mean about starting to watch something and just suddenly you end up binge watching several episodes because I did exactly that in the last week with Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Because got it from, you know, season one through Amazon Prime. It was actually $4.99 for the whole season. Little did I know that they were already giving it away on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey-ho, because I knew it was on YouTube Red, but I thought you had to subscribe to it, but evidently it's free to watch now, as is season two as well on there. But it's been one of those sort of series that I saw it and I just, when it first came out, I thought, that will be absolutely awful. I was thoroughly convinced that this was going to be awful. You know, I know that it has William Zabka and Ralph Macchio in it, reprising their roles of Johnny Lawrence and Daniel Russo.
And brilliantly reprising it as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely fantastic. But this is the nostalgic, not remaster, but the loving sequel that you really want. You know, because for guys like you and me, The Karate Kid was a movie that meant something. You know, for when it came out, you know, that was a really big thing, I think, for us in our, you know, our late 40s.
Yeah.
It was aimed at us, everything. It was absolutely brilliant. I mean, I've gone out on the back of this and I've ordered the 4K Karate Kid just for the heck of it, you know.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely, it was fantastic. It was... What I love about the way what they've done with this is there is absolutely fantastic character building in here. Johnny Lawrence isn't the two-dimensional baddie that that he is. He's almost like a pantomime villain in the original Karate Kid movie, as is John Kreese as well as his mentor. And, you know, in that respect, it worked on that movie at the time. And actually... painted a very, very clear picture of, Johnny Lawrence was the aggressor. Daniel LaRusso was just sort of, trying to do the right thing, all of this, that, and the other, which is where his character still comes from. You know, Johnny Lawrence is a bit down and out. He's, you know, he doesn't have a relationship with his own son. And, his life's in the toilet, basically. He gets fired from his job, and then he decides to set up Cobra Kai. Now, what is really clever, I think, about what they've done this is they revisit a lot of all of that old Karate Kid stuff.
Yeah.
But whole new twist and angle on the whole thing.
And I think this strike a great balance kind of with the... a good versus bad plus in the two seasons. Like, I'm trying to think back now when I watched it. I remember watching it thinking, like, there's a more complex kind of look at the characters and their backstory. You get to really see what Johnny was like when he was a kid and kind of how he suffered. And it's interesting. I think watching the first few episodes, Danielson was actually a bit of a jerk, I thought. And I actually was rooting more for Johnny watching the show. Which is a strange thing to happen, you know?
Do you know what? I'm really glad that you said that, because I was going to say, I watched it.
Yeah.
And you're preconditioned. You're on Daniel LaRusso's sort of side because of your history with the show or the movie. And, you know, like, Johnny Lawrence was the bad guy.
Go on.
You watch this and all of that changes. And... it's not only that they change Johnny Lawrence's your view of John. They don't change his character, but they change your view of Johnny Lawrence
to
such a degree. And also, how Johnny Lawrence sees Daniel from his point of view, that you end up with this situation of, from one episode to the other, I was rooting for different ones of them.
Yeah. And then when they got together, I was like, oh, please let them stay. Because when they came together, I know this sounds very... but the chemistry between the two of them was brilliant. If I remember, they were sitting in the restaurant with their partners.
No, that was season two. No, season one was they were at the bar.
Yes. And I was kind of going, whoa, are they going to have the two dojos, if I remember, come together and form one?
Yeah.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Now, I'm going to do a deep cut here for you before you continue. Have you ever watched How I Met Your Mother, that TV show?
No.
There's a character in that called Barney, right?
Yeah.
And Barney always went for the underdog. Or he always went for... he had an interesting take on stuff. And it's very funny because I remember when I was watching the first season of Cobra Kai... it actually took me back to when Barney said this. And he'd character... the actor played himself in two seasons of How I Met Your Mother. He actually became friends with Barney, but he was playing himself, you know. And what Barney did in one episode, he proclaimed that Johnny Lawrence was the one true hero of the Crashy Kid, right? And it was kind of what he said was, how he described the story was, and Barney was telling the story, he said, it's a story of a hopeful young karate enthusiast whose dreams and moxie take him all the ways to the All Valley Karate Championships, but sadly he loses the final round to the nerdy kid. But he learns an important lesson about gracefully accepting defeat.
Mm.
So when I was watching the first season of Cobra Kai, I went, somebody watched and saw this two seasons of How I Met Your Mother, where Barney always said that Johnny Lawrence was the real hero and that Danielson was the jerk of the Karate Kid. And that's what it feels like a little bit in the first season. Mm. Not so much in the second season. I think the second season I thought was actually better than the first one. That's just my opinion.
Oh, yeah, it got even better. I mean, yeah. It started off, you know, like, so 7.5 out of 10, and then it got to like 8 or 9 out of 10, I reckon.
Agree with you. Yeah.
Because, and I love the parallels that they did, but with different twists to them as well. Yeah. And some of the stuff about who certain characters are and their original motivations and how they change and all of that. All of that is so fantastic. And I'm not kidding. When I saw the last episode and I just said, that was the best way to end.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
As to a season finale, that person didn't go to university and do the how to end a season. That person who wrote that taught the course.
Yeah.
Because that was, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
I was straight on messaging to you about, oh my God, what on earth? You know, that's fantastic. And then you said, oh, you've got to see season two.
The two.
And then I watched all of season one and one did, and watched season two. Yeah. Well, actually, I started watching it straight away.
And I
finished it, and I'd watched all of it in about a day and a half, and that is 20 episodes.
Yeah.
Of this thing. They are about 35 minutes, aren't they? So they're not quite. Yeah.
But what I liked about the second season, I think what they saw first season did so well, because I think it got like 90 million downloads and views. It did very well for them. It was a huge hit. And it actually sold very well as well, I think, outside of it. But they really upped the actions, choreography, and you could see the kids trained a lot more for season two. The action sequences were really, really well done. Like that final battle fight sequence in the school at the end of it is so well done. And it just goes on for the whole episode, if I remember. That's a great fight sequence that you get in any good movie, like.
Oh, yeah. Even the really little nerdy kids that were fighting.
They were so good. Yeah.
And it's, I like you said, that bit where they actually they're forced into this situation where they have to have a meal with each other. Yeah. And you're just watching it and you're thinking, oh, please, you know, come on. This has got to be.
And then something small.
These two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the smallest little thing. And then they're both at each other's throats again. And as you're thinking, oh, no, please, for God's sake.
It's always Danielson who seems to have the biggest problem, I thought, in the two seasons. He seems to be more of not the jerk, because he's still actually really likable. But there's so many, like, Easter eggs and so many, like, jokes and quips at the wax on, wax off. And, you know, there's so much of that stuff in it. And then the part where they redo, what's his name? He's Dojo. And they and they see his cars. Like, they have it spot on identical, like.
Oh, yeah. It's
brilliant.
It's just absolutely brilliant. It's beautiful. Honestly, if you like The Karate Kid, if that movie meant anything to you at all this is absolutely compulsive must-seeing. And I am just dying for season three.
It was supposed to be December, but no, it's not, I think. Next year.
I mean, I have to admit that I didn't think that the ending of season two was done quite as well.
I thought it was.
I just think that reveal at the end of season two, and you're just like, no way. Especially after everything that had been already established.
Yeah, but that person has to come back, I think.
Yes.
That person's kind of the last person really to come back into it. But if I remember, the one of the most emotional ones for me was season two, when they had Johnny and his other four biker, other four best friends together, and they go on a trip.
Yeah, his original pack from the original movie. Yeah,
and they do the shot when they were all kids from the movie, and then they put it into what they know, the same shot, the four of them standing there, or the five of them standing there. Oh man, I was in bits at that one. That was so well done.
Yeah, and I have to admit, it's like I don't really get really passionate and emotive about watching TV shows and movies. I know sometimes I might sound it the way that I describe stuff, but it's certainly, I'm not the type of guy who would be like virtually shouting at the screen, come on, you know, but this was making me feel like that.
Yeah.
And it takes a really, really exceptional show to get you so enthralled with it. I mean, the time just went by, literally. Yeah. It was like, I just sort of started it, and my wife told me, I said, are you ever coming in to see us? And it's like, what are you on about? I've only been watching this for half an hour. So, you've been in here 3 hours. Really?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, I just time flew.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of like bam, 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 one after the other. And it was just, it was one of the best series I've watched for ages.
And that they build up that character, Hawk. He's just an evil little fecker.
Oh, yeah.
He's off as a nerdy kid. Yeah. But he really does take on the no mercy to the limit. I think even more so than they did in the movie, than the Cobra Kai boys from the original movies did. He's just evil. And you just, and every now and then there's a small bit of redeeming factor he might come out of it, if I remember. I haven't seen that for a while. Like,
talking about Doctor Who, weren't they?
Yeah.
Remember on the couch?
Oh, yes.
Doctor Who's a woman now. Really?
And then suddenly, he's back out and then not.
Yeah. But where he actually has the fight with his with his best mate as well, who, you know, is like really super weedy, nerdy kid and everything that happens in that. I'm not going to say what does. But honestly, there was bits of this that was just, it just had me in tears with it. It was, and it's not often, it really isn't often that happens. You know, it's like the only other thing I can think of in ages that has been like that is Afterlife. And that's more because of very personal circumstances.
Because I was surprised you hadn't seen it, because I watched it last year. Because we never really talked about it.
No, I never watched it because I thought this would be utter.
Because I would have recommended it straight away to you, because I know the kind of stuff you like.
Yeah.
I know nostalgia-wise is right up your alley, you know?
Yeah, no, it just, everything about this just completely appealed to me. I think the fact that they've got the original actors to do all of the roles as well.
And the budget wasn't very big for it when you go look at stuff. When I was like, the first season, second season, they definitely spent a bit more, because the first season was a huge because the first season they released the first episode free, I think, and then you paid for subsequent episodes.
Yeah,
three or four or 5 euros, whatever the hell it was, I can't remember.
It was either you paid for them or you had to be a member of YouTube Red,
it sold massive.
And so that's
the second season had a bigger budget.
Yeah.
And you can see it as well.
I think William Zabka's Johnny Lawrence, you could really feel for him as a character because he's come from, really well acted. And, you know, it's like he was like the big boy about town and, you know, all that. But you find out that, you know, he was like sort of like paid off by his rich stepfather and, but, he was like had an abusive sort of like family relationship, as in neglectful and stuff like that. And you know, he idolized Johnny Creese, who was the worst role model he could have gone with. And he actually learns from Daniel as his character about you need to do things more honourably. Although I love the fact that he says, "And you're a legal crane kick." That's the only reason why you won. But it's just it's because you know you can see he's trying to be better, and everything keeps pulling him to be that Cobra Kai thug that he was in the original movie. And it's just such a great way that they've done it, that it's very, very empathetic towards all the characters.
Yeah, but I think as the actor as well, it's kind of redeemed him a bit, because if you go back and look at his story, those movies actually shaped his career and damaged his career, because he was always seen as that bad guy character, and it actually affected, he said it affected roles and things he got.
Yeah.
And he didn't like become the big hit that he was expecting to become out of it. No, he did, as I said in How I Met Your Mother, he was brilliant at playing himself. And he's actually a really good actor. He really does, like, he has these kind of funny facial expressions where he's so kind of, what's internet, what's Facebook, what's transgender and all this kind of stuff. No women. He plays that so well, like.
Oh, he does, yeah.
His timing is very, very good for a comedy and emoting. And I think this show has come along at the right time for him. And actually, he was saying himself he's been offered a few other roles outside of it that he might have gotten. Because he's been typecast as that character.
And he was a very... The thing is, in the original movie, he was a very two-dimensional character.
He was.
And how they've built him up now to be this really flushed-out guy who...
He is,
you know,
yeah.
Who you'd be happy to go out for a drink with. Do you know what I mean?
I actually enjoyed him more. And he actually had more screen time as well than Russo's character.
Well, in reality, I think he is the star of it.
I think he has come across that way as well, yeah.
And I think it's Cobra Kai, so it's about
It's kind of his story, really. Yeah, I'd highly recommend anyone, and actually make me want to go back and watch it again. I've watched it for a while.
To be honest, talking about it, to be honest, I haven't watched it for a week, and I'm thinking about going back again now. it's great to watch.
Yeah, so... That's great. No, Cobra Kai. It's a shame we didn't watch it. We could have done a couple of weekly episodes on it. It would have been a good one.
Well, maybe we could do that for season 3.
Actually, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They were saying December, but now they're saying 21, February, April, maybe.
So. Well, as long as you haven't got too bored with doing this, then we'll be able to do it, won't we?
Yeah, I know.
Between Star Treks.
Yeah, we'd have a lot of Star Trek stuff to do, I'd say.
Yeah, it's going to turn back into the Star Trek show, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, that's good as well.
Yeah, that is true.
And to be honest with you, it'll be all new stuff. So, it'll be all new stuff. So, Discovery will end up.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to how Discovery is going to end up being.
Yeah, so 20 past one.
Yeah, so shall we call it a night there then?
If you don't mind, Hayden, I kind of have a few things to do before I go to bed.
No, that's absolutely fine. I'm sure everybody will have got something out of this.
Hopefully.
I hope you guys have. Do you want to give your contact details then, Alan?
My Twitter is at Head Chef Alan, Xbox and PSN is Chef Alan, and email is gingergamer@yahoo.com.
Brilliant. For me, just look for HERG on everything apart from on Epic Game Store, which just look for Pop Culture Gamers. Don't forget, you can also email the show at podcast@popculturegamers.co.uk. We have our Twitter, which is Pop Culture Gamer, no S. But you can follow us on there. We have a Facebook group. We have a Facebook page. And don't forget our website, popculturegamers.podbean.com, where you can download the show from there as well. Other than that, we've also got a Patreon. If you want to support the show in a financial way, and if you don't want to support the show in a financial way, but still want to help us on so that we get more awareness out there, then please repost, tell your friends. Like us on whatever platform that you're doing, iTunes or whatever, and write us a nice review. Always like a nice review. It's been a while since we've had one of those. So other than that, I think that's it for another week, or for another few days until we do the Sunday show. So I just like to say again, thank you, Alan, for coming and doing a show. It's now 1:22 in the morning, so
yeah.
I think we've done well there.
Yeah,
especially since you've got to be up early in the morning. So thank you very much.
No, thank you, Hayden, as always.
Yeah, always good to talk.
Yeah.
And we'll see you soon. So it's a good night for me.
And it's a good night for him. And it's a slán a wála from me. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye.